Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine. You're listening to a new The Hacker Factory podcast with hacker maker Philip Wiley. You're about to discover what the role of a professional hacker entails, the different specializations it holds, and what it takes to learn and become one. Enjoy the conversation as Philip and guests unveil the secrets of professional hacking, a mysterious, intriguing, and often misunderstood occupation. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hacker Factory podcast. Last week I was in Singapore at Hack in the Box, a conference I'd spoke at in past years virtually. But one of the things I love about going to the conferences is getting to meet people. A lot of cases it's people I know from social media, from Twitter or LinkedIn. Sometimes it's reconnecting with old friends, and sometimes it's meeting people for the first time and then meeting people all together that are totally new. And so I had the opportunity at the conference to meet Sebastian Castro. So Sebastian is a security researcher and PhD student, and really had a great talk during the conference on the Suborner exploit. And so it was really cool research. And you know, normally I spend more time, you know, talking to people and networking than hearing talks, but this conference had some talks I definitely had to sit in on, and Sebastian was one of them. So welcome to the show, Sebastian.
Thank you so much, Philip, for inviting me. It's a real honor for me to be here with you, and I'm glad you made it safe back from Singapore. So and it was great to meet you in person.
I'm glad you made it back safely as well too. It was a lot of fun. So it was a really great experience. I know you seem to have enjoyed your visit to Singapore as well.
Yeah, it was amazing, but I mean, I'm still struggling with the jet lag, you know, but aside from that, it was a great experience. So meeting you in person was amazing as well. So thanks again for inviting me.
Oh, you're welcome. It's an honor. You got some great stuff to share. I mean, you know, this is the focus of this show is helping people that are trying to get started in the industry, and everyone has a different story, and, you know, not everyone's story resonates. I mean, I've had Dave Kennedy on here and Alyssa Knight, but sometimes the stories, you know, I've had someone on here that they were just trying to get into cybersecurity, and that story got so many listens and so many comments. So you just never know how, you know, these stories are going to resonate. So I appreciate you joining. So why don't you start with introducing yourself to our audience and kind of tell us about yourself?
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, as you said, I'm just another information security researcher who likes to break stuff. I'm currently doing my PhD in computer sciences at the University of California. And let's say breaking some processors with the product security office R&D team at AMD. I've been working for about 9 years in the industry. I have had the opportunity to present my own research at some of well-known security conferences out there, like Black Hat, B-Sides, Hack in the Box, and so on. In 2020, I had the privilege to release this book about advanced red teaming operations for the Spanish publisher Oxford. And I have publicly disclosed to, let's say, various attacks, but there has been two that have, popularized among the community. So the first one was released 4 years ago, called the RID hijacking. And most recently, the Suborner attack, which is the one I was presenting there in Hack in the Box.
Very cool. Very, very inspiring. You've kind of motivated me to want to kind of do some security research, just kind of, especially after hearing your talk and Runa's talk. And, you know, I see sometimes that's the best way to be able to speak at some really good conferences is to be able to, if you're doing security research.
Wow. Thank you so much. I mean, I was really excited to have you there in my conference, in my talk. It was amazing. We definitely had a really good conversation after that. And it's inspiring for me to hear that you are motivated to do some research after my talk. So thank you for that.
I just see the value in it, and the people that are really making a name for themselves are really good in the industry do, you know, security research. When you're using everyone else's research or tools, you can still do your job, but sometimes it seems like to really take it to the next level, you just really need to be able to do that security research.
Yeah, that is totally true.
So how did you get started?
It's an interesting question. So I started, I mean, I'm from Colombia. I come from a middle-class home there, but I've been always interested in computer and computers and music. So back in the day, I was constantly jumping between cheat engine. You know, I was trying to hack some video games and sometimes playing a keyboard or a guitar. Back in the day, I wanted to be a guitar player, but I had an injury in my finger. I was playing basketball, and some guy just randomly, you know, we were playing, and he was with the heat of the game, he accidentally hit my finger. So I was kind of, okay, I had this problem with, you know, the guitar. But yeah, then after that, I turned 15, and I enrolled to the computer science program at the National University of Colombia. And in the university, I tried to create my own security research group, and you know, there I started to play some CTFs. Back in the day, it was there was no Hack in the Box or Try Hack Me. There was hackthissite.org, Over the Wire, and some more, you know, CTF games that were, they are not that common nowadays, but that's how I started. And then while I studied in computer sciences, I also started my studies in music at the same university after 2 years. So it was always a mix between, hacking stuff and being into music, because I always believe, I think that having a, let's say, an alternate passion will help you to develop certain skills that you are not aware of, that you may need in your field. So let's say I feel that, for instance, in music, it's useful to have some structure that computer sciences provide, and the other way around. So that's pretty much how I started. That's how I started doing my computer sciences studies. And then I started to work, and I started, as many people does, like doing the risk management part of the field. So I was there for about 2 years. To be honest, I didn't like it that much. You know, it was not for me at that time. So after 2 years, I resigned due to, you know, boredom. I didn't like to, I wanted to, you know, hack stuff and break stuff. So after that, I landed a better position as a technical lead for another small company there in Colombia. But it was definitely more exciting because I had the opportunity to lead some pen testing and red teaming exercises against banking systems and defense government organizations. And that was amazing. And I had the opportunity to start to work on my own research. And yeah, after that, I enrolled this company called Sonatype as a senior security researcher. It's a US-based company. And it was pretty much doing some end-day vulnerability analysis for open source components. So after working for about 9 years, eight years exactly, in the industry, I felt that I wanted more. So I decided that I wanted to be more scientific in the way I was doing my research. So back in the day, in 2018, I released this attack called RID hijacking that was released in Black Hat. And it was amazing. I got a lot of opportunities from there. And one of those was an opportunity to do my PhD here in California. So I saw that as a great opportunity to improve my skill set, improve my mindset to be more scientific in the way of doing some security research. And generally speaking, being more scientific in what I was doing. So that happened probably, yeah, back in 2018, I received that offer. And I moved to the States like 1 year ago. So that's why I'm, that's how I started and how I switched from the working in the industry to being a PhD student. And recently I have, while doing my PhD, I have enrolled AMD to work with their product security office. That's pretty much an overall idea of my, yeah, how has been my career.
Yeah, it's a very, very cool background story there. So it seems like taking more of a scientific approach is probably I guess you would be more structured and easier to document what you do and present your research.
Yes, I feel that. I mean, my experience while I was working in the industry, I noted that most people were trying to find a way to solve the problem immediately instead of finding the best way to solve the problem. And after having some discussions with some people with the academia, I noticed that having that structure that academia provides, sometimes, I don't say always, but sometimes it's helpful to solve certain particular problems. I wouldn't say that every problem that industry faces or any company faces can be solved with this structured method that the academia proposes, but particularly for research and security research, I still feel that there's some value in having a structured way to solve problems that, and definitely doing a PhD can provide you with some tools that can help you to do solve problems in a more scientific way.
Yeah, I would. That seems like it would be easier to reproduce things, and just, I guess, once you build those habits, it seems like it would just make for better research, I would guess.
Yes, making a solutions more reproducible is definitely something that sometimes, at least in my experience, we missed back in the day when I was working for companies. So that is why I decided to exactly jump back to the academia and make solutions more reproducible.
So as far as learning, you know, the academic way of doing security research, were there any kind of habits that you had to break that were some habits that maybe bad habits or habits that weren't so conducive to security research? Was there anything you had to unlearn since, you know, spending 9 years in the industry and then going back, trying to go the academic way of doing things? Were there anything that you just had to do different than way you were doing?
Probably I didn't change that much my, let's say, habits when I was working on a problem, but I definitely reinforced some things that I wasn't aware that they were that important. For instance, taking notes. I feel that when you are doing research, it's super important to have notes. You don't know what crazy idea you'll have, and it's important to write that down. I feel that some of my ideas, of course, not all of them are good, but if you have the habit to constantly write every crazy idea you have material to work on. And that is something that I reinforced while I was working, when I started my PhD, taking notes, everything, like pretty much, you know, you see scientifics in the movies, they are always taking notes and they have these crazy diagrams and things like that. That is why, I mean, when I enrolled a PhD, that is one thing that I reinforced, that is really, really important, like take notes of everything. And when you are doing a pen test, one of the best things you do is pretty much take notes. If you compromise this machine, if you have taken the OSCP exam, you know that one of the best advices that people gives to the community is actually take notes while you are doing the exam or doing the test, or when you are solving a box and hacking the box. Taking notes is definitely one of the most important things that I have reinforced while, you know, jumping back from industry to the academia.
And that's good too that you bring that up, because like through the OSCP or, you know, even someone is pen testing, if you compromise a system and you don't remember how you did it, sometimes it's hard. Maybe you didn't get the screenshot, and then so you need to go back and get that screenshot. And if you can't replicate it, that's tough. So that's a good, very good point on taking good notes.
Yeah, it is true. It is true. And as for myself, I have a very bad memory, so I tend to forget. When I was writing reports to for our clients, I always forget, like, how was it? What was the initial, the foothold that I exploited and all the details. So back in the day, I wasn't that, let's say, picky with taking notes. But right now, I am super structured in the way I'm taking my notes and things like that.
So what's your favorite way to take notes? Is there a certain application you like to keep notes in?
Yeah, so right now, back in the day, I was using Joplin for taking notes with Markdown. I know that you have interviewed TJ Noel. He has a really good structure for instance, if you want to, it has a template for the OSCP exam. I used it for my OSEP exam. I didn't take the OSCP. I jumped straight forward to the OSEP, which is the new offensive security experience pen tester that offensive security released like 1 year ago, if I recall correctly. And I use mostly Joplin and Notion. Those are that's my like second brain where I release all my notes.
Yeah, very interesting. I've heard a lot of good stuff about Notion. I haven't checked that out yet, so I really need to check out Notion. Is Notion one of the note-keeping platforms that you can actually execute code within the note-taking tool? Because I've seen some where you can kind of run code within the note-taking tool.
I'm not entirely sure if there's like any scripting capabilities. I think they should, but I haven't used them yet. Yeah.
So what would be, if someone's wanting to become a security researcher, what would you advise them to do to learn to be a security researcher? What kind of steps would be involved?
So I would say that one of the most important things when you are starting is trying to keep things simple for you and for everyone. Even the more complex concepts, you should try to simplify them. There's this, I think this is called the Feynman technique, where you try to simplify these concepts to explain them to like a 5 years old. This is actually useful because I feel you ask the right questions and when you are trying to figure out a way to explain it to someone that has no idea about what you are talking about. If you try to think to, let's say you want to learn how to SQL injection works, what you may want to do is try to simplify what is the idea behind it. Imagine you're trying to explain it to a 5 years old or a person that doesn't know what is it about, and try to simplify that. Another thing that I would recommend is never be comfortable. I feel that many people talk about passion and discipline and motivation, but it's important also to have that being comfortable with being uncomfortable, right? So keeping your pushing yourself to improve your skill set, to improve what you know already. And another important thing is your health and your family and friends. So your life is first. I know so many people that it's amazingly smart, but they have had some issues with health and family and friends. And when those things happen, you will not have mind to actually break stuff or do your work and pursue your dreams in terms of, you know, security. So always prioritize your health and family and friends. For me, for instance, I had some health issues when I was preparing my proposal for Suborner before Black Hat. I had some health issues and it was super hard for me to prepare you need to prepare the outline and the document and you need to write a decent POC because everyone will take a look at it. And I was having a health issue and that is why, because probably I was working too much, working in a PhD And doing a research and do want to present at a big conference can be overwhelming. So always find a balance and prioritize your health, family, and friends. And I would say, last but not least, be humble. It's crazy to see how many smart people is out there. So you will not know everything, and that's okay. You need to find a way to live with that. And at the very beginning, it's not easy because you are super eager to learn everything about cybersecurity. But in the end, you will realize that there's too much to learn, and you will need to try to find your area and try to be humble because you will not know everything. That would be my advice.
That's some great advice. So how do you recommend, because you mentioned the importance of your health and taking care of yourself. So what do you do to help take care of your health? What do you do to kind of unplug from things and take a break and kind of recuperate from, putting in long hours of study or long hours of work? What do you kind of do to help with that?
Yeah. So what I do right now, I would say the very first, there are two things that I focus on more, and are what you eat and how much you sleep. And of course, the exercise. I'm trying to get better at exercising more frequently. But I would say, yeah, if you are aware of what you are eating, if you are aware of, your brain actually needs to rest, the best way to give it that rest is to sleep. That's also important if you want to be good at what you do. No matter, I would say this is not this applies not only for the security research field, but for pretty much every field. And the food, the food is definitely food is super important. It's like the fuel you give to your brain, so you should be aware of what you're eating. I mean, that's what I do, and I think it works for me. And that's how I've been managing to improve my health. And there's another part that is the mental health, and that's related to your relationships, your life out of your career. I mean, the community is super welcoming. So there's plenty of opportunities to find new friends. It's important also to keep close to the people you love, like your family, your partner, and I would say that's pretty much how I try to balance my life. Those are my main my principles, I would say, how I keep the balance for between my career and my life.
So what about music? So I know music was an interest. Is that still something you kind of use? Is that helpful to you to kind of help kind of get a break from things?
Yeah, definitely. So it was interesting for me because back in the day, I told you I had this injury in my finger, so I wanted to be a guitar player, but I couldn't be it because of the injury. So I didn't know exactly what to do in terms of music. So back in the day, I went to the university choir just because I wanted to re-engage with music again. And someone told me that I had a good voice for singing. So at the very beginning, I was like, yeah, I don't believe it. But she convinced me to audition to this opera singing program that my university has. And guess what? I passed. So then I confirmed that probably my voice is not that bad for singing. And I kept studying for 2 years, and then I enrolled the Opera of Colombia and worked for them for about 6 years as a tenor voice member. Of course, I had to leave it because I moved to the Bay Area for my PhD. And definitely one thing that I value from that is that it helped me to think out of the box in the sense that I was studying computer sciences, and you know how structured those classes can be. So when I jumped to music, I realized that there's a whole different world that I wasn't aware of. before joining it. Like, there are different ways to learn. There are different ways to face problems. That helped me to realize that the mindset you develop by studying hard sciences, you know, STEM sciences, is essential, but you also need the creativity that, you know, makes you get out of those structures. If you want to work in cybersecurity, you need to think out of the box, try to find the best way to break an application, try to think those edge cases that the developer didn't consider it when he was when they were creating the application. And music helped me to imbibe the idea that no matter how complex and advanced the system you are facing, behind that system, there's gonna be always a human or a human creation, and human nature has plenty of, you know, emotions and feelings, and if you take advantage of that kind of knowledge, you can pretty much start to think out of the box. For instance, social engineering is pretty much focused on human interaction and taking advantage of these human emotions and human feelings. But for me, music helped me to realize and actually incorporate and imperson and imbibe that idea that behind every system, no matter how advanced it is, it is a human creation, right? And that helped me to start thinking in a different way in how I faced when I was, for instance, trying to solve a problem in security or trying to pen test an application. And let me try to simplify this with an example that it's super simple. Whenever you are trying to hack an application, what's the first thing you do? It's pretty much try admin, for instance, right? Why does that work? Because behind the application, there was a human that wanted to simplify their work just by making things work. Probably, you know, there was a boss that was trying to get things done. And to get things done, you know, easier thing to do is make them functional. Is try to, you know, let everything, you know, by default. And that happens pretty much. This is a super simple example, but that happens in many, many scenarios in cybersecurity. So that is how I feel that music helped me to understand how to think out of the box.
Yeah, it just seems like it'd be a good way to disconnect and forget about what you're doing, because, you know, sometimes you're working on a really difficult project, or you're, you know, doing a pen test and you're really stuck. I mean, even like some of the offensive security certifications, you get really stuck and you need a break and get away. It seems like something like music would help you just totally forget about it and disconnect for a little while and help you kind of refresh your mind, come back to it later.
Yeah, yeah, that is definitely true, especially because you are still solving problems, but the problems you are solving are different from the ones you are moving out, right? Like if you're trying to solve an OSP exam, it's definitely different from, you know, trying to play to sing an aria in my case, or play the piano or something. It's a different problem solving that you are doing, but that's definitely refreshing, for sure. Totally agree with that.
Very cool. So we're getting down towards the end of the show. Is there anything else you'd like to share? Any advice that you'd like to give our listeners?
I would like probably to talk again to the principles that I was mentioning, the takeaways. This career is amazing. The security research field and the career, if you want to join it, it's hard at the beginning, but there are people like Philip that makes it easy for everyone to join. So that's amazing. And I would say that the best way to do it is, as I've mentioned, try to keep things simple. Even the more complex concepts in our industry, there are so many people that is trying to create so many complex ideas that they are actually great, but sometimes it's hard for the whole audience to follow them. So try to simplify these things, even for you, that will be easy for you to get into the field. Try to never be comfortable, pursue this as a passion, have discipline and prioritize your life. Remember, it's important to have health, have family, and have friends. And not everything is work. You shouldn't, if you want to be good at this, I would recommend to not be a workaholic. That's my experience, so I recommend it. And last but not least, be humble.
That's some great advice. So I really appreciate you taking the time to join the show, and good to learn a little bit more about you. So thanks again.
Thank you so much, Philip. It was amazing to be here.
Thanks, everyone, for joining, and we'll see you on the next episode.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Hacker Factory podcast with Philip Wiley. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share ITSPmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.